Brother Johnny, will you tell us tonight about those blessed benefits?
Thank you, Brother Horace, and thank you for all those who are co-sponsoring, and Brother Brooks, who sponsors the host of this gathering together of like minds to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ across our nation. Our nation most certainly is in great need of the gospel being preached. And I'm so thankful that you have given me opportunity to be with you. And I don't know how many of you online are members of the Lord's Church and how many are not, but I want to talk to you tonight about the blessed benefits that we have as a Christian. If you will, turn with me. If you're not there, please do so. And turn to Psalms 103. And let's read together this psalm. The text says, "Blessed the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He make known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And as for man, his days are as grass, as a fly of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. For the mercy of the Lord is forever to everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken to the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, all ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Well, as you can see, this psalm uses the word blessed numerous times, and it's talking about the blessed benefits that we receive because we are a child of God. In verse 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." That's in verse 2 of Psalm 103. Looking into this inspiring psalm, we find the gracious benefits revealed to us by the Holy Spirit as he helps us understand all these great blessings we have. These include everything that is necessary to the souls of men. You see, our soul is that part of us that will live on in eternity. The body, as you know, will go back to dust from which it comes. That is, one day I will leave my earthly body. It will be planted in the earth, as it were, and it shall decay and go back to whence it came from the dust. But there's something that lives within inside me and within each and every one of us, and that is our soul. Our soul that lives forever. When one goes to the grave, there's a soul that goes with him, but that soul lives forever. It does not stay in the grave. And so there are great benefits that the soul is privileged to because we are a child of God. Think about this, the benefits of redemption that's found in verse 4. That's our first point. Look what verse 4 says. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Notice, first of all, the text says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? The who here is the Lord. So we have the redeeming Lord. The Lord is our redeemer. He's the one who redeems us from our iniquities, our sins. He's the one who looks down upon us in tender mercy, knowing our souls will live forever. He wants them to be with us. And so he provides all the benefits that are necessary in order that you and I might enjoy those benefits and one day, of course, have eternal redemption. But then think about the second point he makes here in that particular context, and that is the redeeming love. Look what he says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. The thing that we need to recognize about the Lord is our Lord is a loving Lord. That says his loving kindness and tender mercies. When the Lord looks down upon this world in general, he has a loving and a kind attitude toward the world as a whole. Matter of fact, that's the reason why he died upon the cross of Calvary. That's the reason why God sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary. We learn in John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That shows us how much the Lord loves us. In that, number one, God would send his only begotten son, but number two, the Lord himself would graciously go to the cross of Calvary and die on the cross of Calvary in order that we might be able to have salvation. Of course, salvation doesn't come by belief only. In John 3, verse 5, Jesus talked to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was asking him a question, and the Lord responded to him by saying, except thou be born of the Spirit and the water, thou cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is, being born again is necessary. And to be born again means to be born of the Spirit and of water. Of course, that refers to baptism of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Mark 16, and verse 15 and 16 as well. And so we have this redeeming love that the Lord loves us in so much that he was willing to give his life for us. Then thirdly in that text, we find this, the redeeming life. It says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. We've got to understand this. The journey we were on before becoming a Christian was a journey of destruction. That is, the end result of the journey we were on would lead into everlasting damnation. And so he redeems us from that, and so that we no longer have to face destruction. I can lift up my head every morning as I rise to meet the new day, knowing that my Lord died on the cross of Calvary for me, and that I have been redeemed from a life of destruction. And I can live a better life knowing the great benefits that he has given me. And so we need to think about the idea of this benefits that we have of the Lord and that we've been redeemed in those things. Secondly, notice this, the benefits of renewing. Look at verse 5. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. A renewing spirit. To be renewed is something that we need always, do we not? There's a renewing spirit within us when we become a child of God. But as we have this day by day renewing of our hearts to know that we are a child of God, to know that our sins have been forgiven, and that God no longer holds those things against us at all. And because of that, God strengthens us every day. And that brings us to the second point found in this text, and that is a renewing strength that we find there in verse 5. But I want us to also look at another text that goes along with this, and that is found in Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 31. Notice what Isaiah writes, chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 31. The text says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." When you think about the idea, they shall mount up their wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. That's because of the strength of the Lord that he gives us. And that's what verse 5 is talking about. "Who satisfies our mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles." That is where our youth, that is, we get that sense of renewal within inside of us, and we gain our strength from God. And it's as if we have this youthfulness all over again. Now, I know the body's not going to be young again. My body's never going to be what it was when I was 18. That just isn't going to happen. As a matter of fact, my body's not going to be what it was when I was 40 or 50 or even 60. I'm beyond that. So I recognize that my body is deteriorating. But the renewal that he's talking about is not the physical body. It's the inner man that is renewed day by day. And so we have that renewing of the spirit, the renewing of strength, and then we have the renewing of the spiritual. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. You would, you might want to turn there with me, you will. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Listen to what Paul says. "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God helps us to be transformed as we no longer conform to the world. We're transformed into a new man. And not only is we transformed into a new man, but the text says, "Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Our mind is renewed, once again, day by day. The more we know God, the closer we come to God, the benefits are so great that we want to just do all that we can to please God. And in doing so, we're renewed day by day. And so there's the benefits of the renewing that's found in verse 5. Thirdly, there's the benefits of righteousness. Look with me, if you will, at verse 6. It said, "The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Understand this here. The Lord, he rewards the wicked, the oppressors of his people. Now, that's not a good reward, naturally. But understand this. The Lord will take care of those in his own time who oppress his people. And so the righteous are benefited because knowing this, that no matter what happens to us in this life, it's not about this life, but it's about the life hereafter. And we begin to understand that the righteousness that we get to enjoy by being in Christ carries far beyond this life. It carries into the next life. And to know this here, that those who have oppressed us in this life, one day God will see to it that they are punished in his own time. That'll be God's decision, not my decision. That's going to be God's decision. But notice here what he does when he talks about the oppression of the wicked. He rewards their way. Look at verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. You go back and study the life of Moses. Moses was raised up in Pharaoh's house as an Egyptian. He was an Egyptian. He was of the children of Israel, but he was taken at birth, and he was raised up, and he was raised up in Pharaoh's house as his own son. And because of that, he knew all the ways of the Egyptians. And he could have, had he wanted to, stayed in favor with the Pharaoh and possibly been in line to be a Pharaoh. He would have been in the household. And he could have enjoyed all the benefits that the Egyptians had, all the wealth they had, all the things they had. He could have enjoyed all those things. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew says that he gave up those things, gave up the having the benefits of enjoying the riches of this world that he might serve God. But he could have done those things had he wanted to. But the Lord comes along, and the Lord shows Moses his acts, his ways. He shows the children of Israel his ways, his acts, and he redeems them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And then as the Egyptians flee to bring them back or to destroy them, whatever their mind was doing, as they, the children of Israel were leaving and they were about to cross the Red Sea, you recall, and they look up and the Egyptians are coming. And God opens up the Red Sea by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel cross over the Red Sea, the Bible says, on dry land. And so God rewards them. They're the righteous. But at the same time, as the Egyptians cross over, begin to cross over the Red Sea, he rewards them as well. And he covers them up with the water and destroys them. And so he rewards the wicked and rewards their ways. And then, of course, even that children of Israel, they see God's hand over and over and over. And eventually they come into the land of Canaan, and they receive the land that God had promised them, that land he had promised way back to Abraham in many years prior to that. But once again, rewarding the wicked for their wicked ways. The Bible says that he reserves his wrath, verse 7. So the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And so he reserves his wrath. But notice this, God will not always withhold his wrath. Those who oppress the righteous, one day God will rain his wrath upon them, and they shall be destroyed and forevermore be cast out of God's presence into a hell that's been prepared for the devil and his angels. Of course, you and I as the righteous, we will not have to worry about that because God will save us from all of our iniquities if we turn to him and continue walking in his ways. And then, fourthly, think about the benefits of remission. That's found in verse 3, the benefits of remission. Look at verse 3 once again. Back in Psalms 103, and look at verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. The diseases are a reference, of course, to the disease of sin, not our physical diseases, but the disease of sin. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, all those things that we have done against God. One of the benefits that we have of remission is knowing that God has redeemed us from all those things, and that we once again have the ability to escape the reward of our sin because we have turned to God and he has redeemed us. Look at verse 10 in that chapter 103. Verse 10 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And so we've escaped the reward of sin, according to verse 10. Actually, when you think about it, the reward that one ought to receive for sin is death, eternal separation from God. It was not God who brought sin into the world, but rather it was the old devil. As he brought sin into the world, deceiving Eve, and she gave to her husband, and he didn't eat. And so, in cooperation with the devil, Eve and Adam brought sin into the world. And when they brought sin into the world, they at that time became out of fellowship with God. That's one of the reasons why God put them forth from the Garden of Eden, lest they eat the tree of life and live forever. And their punishment was to be cut off, not be in fellowship with God after that event. Of course, God had already devised a plan to redeem man back to himself. That plan involved our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming to this world, living here on this world for 33 and a half years, and then his life ending at the cross of Calvary. But that was not the end. He was buried, and 3 days later came forth out of the grave to be resurrected to live forevermore. According to Acts chapter 1, he was ascended back into heaven and to sit at the right hand of his Father on high to rule over his kingdom, the church. And so we have the benefits of this remission of our sins because he has redeemed us from our sin. We're no longer going to be dealt with us according to our sins, but he has given us the benefits of forgiveness and remission from our sins. Also, the experience, the removal of sin. Look what it says in verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Can you imagine that? As far as the east is from the west. Now, I don't know how far that is. That is, I cannot measure that. Neither can you. It is endless, is what he's saying. That is, there's no end to the removal of sin. God takes our sin and removes them from us as if they never took place and does not hold those things ever against us. Now, that's not to say that we may not still have to reap the benefits of sins that we committed. Sometimes we're going to reap some things in life because of sin, even though we've been forgiven. For example, if one was a person who committed fornication and prior to becoming a Christian and he received AIDS, becoming a Christian is not going to remove the AIDS virus from that person, but it will remove the sin from that person. That is, God will no longer hold them responsible for their sin, but God will remove it as far as the east is from the west, and he will not lay it on charge against them any longer, though they may still have to experience the benefits of their sin. That is, I say the benefits, I don't know if that's the proper word for that concept, but you understand the idea what I'm talking about. That sin, that virus is not going to be removed from them just because they've obeyed the gospel. But they will have their sins forgiven, and they will stand before God justified in the day when he gives out the reward of heaven. And so we have that great reward of knowing our sins have been removed. And wasn't that great to know that? To know that we have relief from our sins, that God doesn't hold those things against us. Here's the thing. There's not a person online right now, and I mean every single person online right now, who has not sinned against God and needed forgiveness, remission. And every one of us at one point in our life who is a Christian have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and at that point our sins were removed away from us as far as the east is from the west, and God no longer holds those sins against us. And what a great benefit that is, isn't it? The benefits we have from Psalms 103. Fifthly, the benefits of remembrance. Look at verse 14 with me. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows our frame. God knows everything there is about me and about you. He knows every hair that's on my head. He knows every molecule that it takes to make up my body and your body. Everything about us, God knows. Scientists, they claim to know a lot, and they do know a lot. But they know nothing in comparison to what God knows about the human body, do they? No, God knows all there's to know about my frame. Furthermore, he knows our fears, doesn't he? He knows our fears. He knows our fears when we fear what life is going to throw at us, and he knows our fears about overcoming temptation. There's nothing God does not know about us. Furthermore, he knows our failures too. Think about the idea that God knows my failures. He knows your failures. He knows when I'm being tempted. He knows when you're being tempted. And he knows when I fail, and I do fail. I'm by no means perfect, and neither is anyone else on this line. There's only one perfect person, and he died for all the imperfect people, which includes you and includes me. So the benefits of remembrance are there, that God knows who we are. He knows our fears. He knows our failures. And I want you to come back to that text. For he knoweth our frame. And what's this here? He remembers that we are dust. God knows that we're just human. And he knows that we are going to fall short. But he's always going to be there for us, isn't he? I'm reminded of the prodigal son, and how the prodigal son had left the father's house, took all that he had into a fire country, and he wasted it with righteous living. And when he had wasted all that he had, the Bible says that he found himself in a pig pen, as it were, about to eat the husk that the pigs did eat. And the Bible says he came to himself, and he said, in my father's house, the servants have all that they need. He said, I'm going to go back to my father and ask him to forgive me, right? He wasn't asking him to put him back in the place he was at. He just wanted to be a servant in the father's house. And so he gets up and he begins his journey. And as I read that text, I can visualize in my mind the father sitting on the porch. That father, of course, representing God. And as he's looking out on that porch, he's always there, always looking. And he sees his son afar off. And he sees him coming toward him. And he jumps off the porch, as it were, and runs to him, embraces his son. The son says, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. But the father doesn't do that. The father embraces him as a son and brings him back into the fold, as it were, puts a ring on his finger, a robe on his back, shoes on his feet, and makes a feast. So that all can know, my son who was lost is now returned. You see, God knows our failures, doesn't he? And God is willing to forgive us of all of our shortcomings when we come back to him. And so there's great benefits of knowing that we are a child of God. Let me ask you this. We have the great benefits because of the mercy of God, because of our obedience to his commandments. Do you have those benefits in your life? If not, I pray that you will think seriously about the things we've looked at tonight, the benefits of being a Christian, being a child of God. Oh, what blessed benefits we have because we're in the body of Jesus Christ. And I would invite you tonight to check out and come to understand what the Bible teaches about becoming a New Testament Christian. You know, the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter and the apostles rose up and preached that great gospel sermon on that occasion. And as they were preaching, some hollered out, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" They were pricked in the heart, the Bible says, Acts chapter 2, 36, 37. The Bible says that Peter stood up and said in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Dropping on down a few verses, and verse 41, the Bible says the Lord added about 3,000 souls that day at the church. Down to verse 47, he added more to the church. The Lord did the very same thing today. And by being added to the church, because we've been baptized for the remission of our sins, and we repented of those sins, we have all the benefits that God has said he's going to give us. And what a great blessing that is, isn't it? To know that we're there. My friends, if you're not a Christian, I want to invite you to become a Christian. If you are, and you've gone astray, come back to the Lord today before it's everlasting too late, knowing that God will forgive us if we ask for forgiveness according to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. God bless you. I pray this study has been of some benefit to you.